The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Episode of Leftovers Podcast, Derek Kramer,
Frank Arcuri,
and you might as well call us a Cody Parkey field goal because we're a pair of doinks.
Wow. Hey, it was tipped, okay?
It was blocked, and kudos to the Philadelphia Eagles player for blocking that. Not kudos to the stupid fans in Chicago that are giving death threats to a professional kicker because their favorite football team lost a football game.
But it was the playoffs, and he should have made it. And he's the reason they lost. Not because their offense couldn't get in the end zone.
Not because their defense, their very vaunted defense, allowed a touchdown within the last 2 minutes.
No. None of that's the reason.
Not the right
none
guard.
None of that's the reason they lost. It was their kicker.
Not the right guard.
Who scored nine of their 15 points.
Yeah, and not the guy who let the guy through to get it blocked.
Yeah.
No, it's strictly Cody Parkey's
fault. It's all his fault.
It is all his fault. Look, I know that I'm not talking to the majority of fans, but sometimes people freaking disgust me with this stuff. I mean, to give death threats...
It's nothing new, though.
Person. No, I know. I'm just stating the fact that it disgusts me.
It's disgusting, yes. It's nothing new. And it happens all the time.
And unfortunately, there's nothing we can really do about
no.
it. And that's why y'all disgust me when that happens. I'm just hoping nothing actually happens because us Bills fans can't really say much more because we had one a-hole go ahead and light someone's yard on fire.
Yeah.
For fumbling a kickoff in a regular season game. So we don't really get much of a pass. But I will say this. If you're ever that kind of person that goes ahead and sends something like that, and you're on my feed and I know it, I know about it, I'm calling you out. My threat.
The only people who would like actually attempt to do something are ones who probably lost a lot of money on that game.
Don't matter.
I'm saying is, it doesn't matter, absolutely, but I'm saying is, somebody who would do something, like the person who lit Leodis McKelvin's yard on fire.
I should be allowed to kick him in the gonads without an assault charge.
Yes, but he probably also did it because that fumble probably cost him a lot of money.
I don't care the motive.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, yes, but I'm saying is that's probably those are the fans who lose money on games are the ones who would do something like that.
Well, I still don't care. I know you're trying to justify these means as like the motives why people are so crappy. And for me,
it does.
It's just,
I don't. Like, I'm
you're
not
justifying
it.
You're
I'm
trying
just,
to rationalize like,
I'm trying
what's
to
going
give
on.
A reason as to why they would do something like that.
And I'm saying save your oxygen.
It really doesn't matter.
I should be allowed to kick you in the testicles.
I think so. It's not me. Don't actually kick me.
I'm not talking to you personally, though that is a great idea to
no,
kick you
in the No, it's not a great idea.
But.
Listen, we play
actually,
hockey.
Actually,
we play,
step better.
We play in a hockey game
step
tonight,
better.
Okay?
Everyone that threatened Cody Parkey should be allowed to get kicked in the testicles by Ooh. Cody Parkey.
Ooh. Now.
I think Parkey would take great pleasure in all of that revenge.
Yeah.
Because he did his job right. That ball was going to sit. That ball was going through, except it was redirected.
It's tipped.
It was redirected.
Like,
into two posts.
Yeah.
It's like the same people that threatened Nathan Peterman for being terrible. Like,
or the same people who threaten Maxime Comtois.
Yeah, and that was a kid.
And that's a 19-year-old.
Look, I'm sorry to the people that threaten players or athletes. I'm sorry your life sucks enough that you have to go ahead and do that.
I'm not. I'm not sorry.
Oof, there you go. Frank's not sorry. And I was only saying that just to be nice. You suck. You're the lowest of the low.
Go find something better to do.
The only thing that could be lower than you people is my prediction record.
Ooh.
That's it. I'm not finding anything else.
My biggest fear right now, when it comes to these kind of issues, my biggest fear as a sports fan is that somebody will take it further. Like we had the we mentioned earlier, we had the fan who lit Leotis McKelvin's yard on fire. I remember back in the 90s, I think it was the 90s. There's a story about you probably know where I'm going at with this, a soccer player.
I mean, what scored an open in the 90s?
Yeah, really. there's a soccer player, I think it was Colombia, it was in the World Cup, scored an own goal. Mm-hmm. Tried to redirect a pass, and it went into his own net, and the team ended up losing the game. And that dude got killed for it. He lost his life. He's not living anymore.
And those people deserve to rot in hell.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just worried that that might happen.
All right. So I'm going to try to attempt to turn this back into a positive.
All right. Let's go back to positive.
Because people
suck. No more negativity.
People suck.
Yeah.
And again, the only thing that's lower than your livelihood is my predictions record. Because I went 1-3.
Don't worry. I went 1-3 too. So we all had the same ones.
Ugh. That means Geary went 1-3.
Oh really?
Because he and I had the same picks on Sports Talk Saturday. Lockstep.
We all had the same. Indy, which we got right. And
yeah, we started great.
Baltimore, Seattle, and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Started great. Indy took the Texans to the tool shed.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, my God, the Colts are for real.
Yeah, they are.
To be 1-5 at one point in the season and be able to do this to the team that beat you for the division crown? Oof. The Colts might actually have a legitimate case for the Super Bowl if they keep playing like this.
I think so.
They get to take on the Chiefs next, which I will never put anything past Kansas City in terms of choking.
This is true. Same here. Let's be real.
And New England gets the Chargers. I mean, man, Lamar Jackson had a rough one. I wanted to believe. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, the Chargers defense was too much for him. And that's going to happen. I mean, rookies put up duds in the playoffs. It's what happens. Like, that's life. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that Lamar's suddenly a bust or that Joe Flacco would have done better. Joe Flacco wouldn't have been able to escape the pocket. Lamar Jackson would have.
That's something I was going to ask you, too. There was the talk of they should bench Lamar and put in Flacco.
You know who said that that would not have been a good idea? Joe Flacco.
Yeah, he did.
Flacco was like, no, don't even go there. Because it's not right to even say something along those lines. I'm thinking to myself, good for you, Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know that, like, he knows that his job is done in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And that he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, did he take the high road on that one. He's just like, don't even try to have that conversation.
He knew Lamar was playing better.
And he also probably knew that Los Angeles pass rush would have decked him to the point where Jackson would have had to come back in anyway.
Yeah.
Flacco would have been turned into a bloody paste. And then the NFC. Because, of course, the Cowboys had to have the Seahawks lose their kicker to injury mid-game.
I don't know why every time we pick against Dallas, they win.
Not every time.
Most of the time.
A large portion of the time, because they happen to have a winning record.
Large portion of the time. Because most of the times when they actually lose is because one of us picks them, i.e. usually me, because you never pick them.
Yeah. So, of course, Dallas gets the good fortune of, oh, hey, Sebastian Janikowski's done for the game. So not only do you not have to worry about Seattle kicking field goals or even extra points, now you get better field position because kickoffs are not going to be the same
either. Dallas was the only home team to win over the weekend.
Because of course they were.
Yeah. Now they get to go to Los Angeles.
Which, by the way, how stupid were their fans looking? They open the doors to stadium and everyone's racing in like it's a Black Friday special. Look, man, I'm speaking on this because I'm a Bills fan and I don't get home playoff games because Tom Brady exists. But y'all got to calm down. Bills fans aren't running to their seats. Mostly because they're staggering because...
Yeah, they're not running because...
They've consumed some staggering. Wobbly pops.
Yeah.
And are enjoying the moment.
Yeah.
I'm not running into the stadium like a pack of gazelles running from a lion. Like, I'm good on that front. I don't need to. You're supposed to be there to enjoy the game, not stress out about who gets in their seat first.
Yeah.
Also, you have designated seats. What's the rush? Right? It's not like a concert where, you know, if you want to get up to the front of the stage, you actually have to run up there.
Yeah, really.
No, you have designated seats. Like, what are you guys doing? I don't get it. It's kind of dumb. The more I'm talking about it, the more stupid it seems. It's almost as if it's Dallas stupid. Fans are nonsensical.
It's almost as if they're stupid.
I mean, let's be real. Fandom does show the worst in some people.
Yeah.
As we had just very much mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the sillier side of it, where people are running to their designated seats that they paid a lot of money for. And I don't care that you paid a lot of money for it. I mean, if you want to check out a playoff game, that's an experience of a lifetime. Go for it.
Yeah.
But, yo, do it on your own pace. You don't need to run.
Yeah. But I got to get to my seat first.
I
got to get to my assigned seat first, okay?
Okay, yes. But you want to know the first thing I do whenever I go to a game? I get food. So those people better have been running for the concessions first.
Maybe they were.
I doubt it.
Maybe they're running in the bathroom.
What, because they were waiting so long outside?
Maybe they were doing a lot of drinking. Just wanted to get a quick tinkle in before the game started. And then get some food.
I'm not sure and how maybe get more beer. What's going on here. I'm not sure if I'm trying to process that we're arguing about what idiot fans are doing or the fact that you said the words, and I quote, quick tinkle, unquote.
I mean,
I'm not sure
I
what
can
to
say
do
something
with this.
Else, but I don't.
I'm not sure what to do with this.
I can say something else, but
I know you can, but I'm just trying to process the fact that you said those words.
Yeah, I know.
And it's still taking me a while
trying
to go, how do I react to this?
A little, you know, PG.
Oh, I get that. But those were the words that you used, and I'm still yes. trying to figure out how to react properly. I guess sarcastically ranting about it is the way I reacted.
Yeah. That's your reaction. It's a good one.
But Dallas gets to go now to face the Rams.
Yes. Philly plays New Orleans.
Philly plays New Orleans.
Rematch.
Great.
Of
that should go really well.
What was it?
Rematch of the pasting
yeah.
that New Orleans gave them.
Yep.
Great. Awesome. I know I don't need to watch Sunday night's game. And then there's the Chargers. You are our only hope, Chargers.
Yep.
At the current moment, until the next team.
Yep.
Philip Rivers is 0-7 in his career against Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Yeah.
I think I saw that was in the postseason. Both of them are old enough that they could have faced each other 7 times. But that's not good. The only reason I saw that stat was because I saw a tweet from everyone's friend, Del Reed,
mm-hmm.
where he says, does that mean that he's due?
It might. If it's his year.
It's the Chargers, though.
It is the Chargers.
So can we really trust them? No. I'm thinking Frank saw the stat.
No, just when you said, can we really trust them?
Oh, right. Yeah, even more so.
I think, by the way, when it's 0-7, I think it's overall.
Yikes.
Because Rivers has only been in the playoffs 5 times.
Okay, then. That makes it worse.
Yeah.
Including a 13-3 team that should have went to the Super Bowl when they had LT.
They went 14-2 one year as well.
Yeah. They had some really good teams, and guess what?
Yeah.
They've never made it to the conference championship. Wait. No, the one that they lost in New England was a conference championship, wasn't it? I'm not sure. I'm not fact-checking. All I know is this. They haven't made the Super Bowl. That's for damn sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not sure how much I could trust the Chargers right now. I might trust the Colts more than I would trust the Chargers. My rankings might go Colts.
Never been to the conference championship.
With Phillip Rivers?
Yep.
Wow. So that means I would rather trust the Colts than the Chiefs, then the Chargers against the Patriots.
He's 0-2 in the playoffs against Brady.
Awesome.
Because the one year they went 14-2, they lost in the divisional to New England.
Yep.
And then the next year, they lost in the divisional to New England.
Man, and they faced off with, in the divisional, against New England.
Yep.
Oh, boy. I'm so stoked to see the Patriots go ahead and waltz their way to another AFC Championship game. Can you tell the excitement in my voice?
Yay.
Yay. I'm super excited.
Woohoo.
I am hype. Get lit, fam. The Patriots.
They haven't been to the conference championship since 94 when they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Niners.
Yeah, we have to trust that team right now.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for next week.
Okay. Same.
Awesome.
So we're both, so when we.
Should we just basically get these out of the way now?
Sure.
Seeing as how we went 1-3?
Sure.
So and New England's winning. And we kind of briefly just previewed each of these games.
And we kind of already just said briefly. New England's going to win.
Yep. And New Orleans is going to go ahead and stomp Philly again.
I don't think they're going to stomp them. I think the game is going to be a lot closer.
Yes, because last time it worked so much better for Philadelphia, even though they had the superior quarterback in the last time that they had the match between these two teams. Nick Foles is not that good, people.
I thought Trubisky was better last night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But
I'm talking about, by the way, Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
They got their stuff kicked in with Carson Wentz.
Yeah. I think, but I think too, Philly's going to prepare better because now they know what they're going into with New Orleans. They've already played them.
I get that, but New Orleans is too good.
I think so too. I think New Orleans is going to win, but I think the game's going to be closer. Like, I could see the game being 31-27.
I could see the game being 31-27.
Sure.
Because that's just how good.
So I don't think New Orleans' defense is as good, even though. 7 points against Wentz.
Was that what it was last time?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I was just guessing 31-27 because that's just because you said something about 31-27.
Yeah.
I didn't know Philadelphia scored a touchdown against New Orleans. And it was only like, a touchdown.
It was like, I think that the regular season game was like 41-7.
Ugh.
Yeah. I don't think I can't see it being that again. Or like, I think the game's gonna be just a lot closer. Are we both gonna pick the Rams, and then watch Dallas win? Because of course that happens.
Because of course it's the Rams who aren't necessarily healthy.
Yeah.
Why does Dallas have to keep getting things?
I don't know.
But I will say. I'm going to try to go ahead and jinx them. I'm going to use my 1-3 record to try to go for powers of good. I picked the Patriots, and I'm picking the Cowboys.
Okay.
One of them has to go down, right?
Hopefully. Let's pray.
Watch, I go 2-2.
Well, who are you picking in Indy, Kansas City? That's the
Well, what are you picking in Rams in Dallas?
I'm going to go Rams.
Okay. This one is probably going to be the most exciting game.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the over versus the Colts, who are a very good offense.
And the hottest team right now.
And the hottest team right now. I'm going to stick to my convictions, and I'm picking the one seed here.
Okay. The Chiefs.
By the way, I'm only picking Dallas to solely spite them.
Oh, yeah.
Because my original predictions are that the 1 and 2 seeds will make the conference championship game for each side.
Yep.
But I'm picking Dallas only to spite them.
Okay.
And I'm picking the Chiefs because I think that they'll be able to hold up.
I'm going.
Though Indy is going to be very interesting.
I'm going Indy. I think they go in and win.
I could see it.
It may very well happen. This is Pat Mahomes' first game in the playoffs. He got a bye, which is good for him. It gives him another week to prepare. But Indy is the hottest team in the league right now. Their offense is firing on all cylinders.
And their offense can go shot.
And
shot.
Houston has a good defense, and Indy put up 21 on them.
I'm surprised they only put up 21 on them.
Yeah.
Because that came quick.
Kansas City.
They coasted the rest of the game.
Kansas City does not have a good defense. Indy could put more up. This is going to be a matter of
Texans.
This is going to be a matter of who outduels who, Mahomes or Luck.
My big thing is this. Yes, Houston has a good offense, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But Kansas City's is on another level.
That's why I say it's going to be a matter of who outduels.
It might just be a matter of who has the ball last. Kind of like how the Chiefs and Ravens game went in the regular season.
It could be that way, too. Yeah.
Or pretty much any Chiefs game has gone this season.
This has potential to be, like, 42-40.
And guess what? The Chiefs thrive on that.
They
got the best record in the AFC for a reason.
They do.
Because they survive track meets.
Yeah, they do.
Because that's what they've had to do all year.
They do, yeah.
And this will be no different.
But now you got to go up against Andrew Luck.
I don't think
I
don't think that part matters. Name a quarterback and they're going to put up some numbers on the Kansas City defense. Can Pat Mahomes do it against Indy's defense? Absolutely. So guess what this means? I'm picking the team that has done it more times than not this season in this scenario, which has been literally every game for them.
Something tells me that Andy Reid's going to do something to mess it up.
He might.
He usually does.
Usually the Chiefs get some form of a playoff win before they go ahead and choke it all away, right?
No.
That's right.
Maybe. Like, they had that 1 year where they won a wild card game, I think.
Yep. And then they went to New England.
Yeah.
Like,
last year they blew it against Tennessee.
They did. Oh, man, they did.
Ugh.
But I think that the choke job doesn't come yet. I think they get one in.
Okay.
Before then, undeniably choking against the Patriots, and we get a Patriots Super Bowl. Yay.
They play Dallas. No one's going to watch that.
If they play Dallas,
I'm not watching it. Legit, I may not watch that game.
No, I know. If New England plays Dallas in the Super Bowl, I volunteer to do something inanely stupid so that people can watch that instead.
Go on.
I have no idea what it is yet.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
It can range from trying to go down a quarter pipe to playing Tecmo football and streaming it to something else stupid. I don't know. Things that can cause physical harm, video games that replace the actual game, something, anything other than New England, Dallas, where I would actually have to go ahead and not cheer for the Patriots to lose. My hatred for Dallas knows no bounds.
Could
possibly retire. There's two ends of that. Like, if it was New England and Dallas, I would actually go ahead and say, I would rather choose for the Patriots here.
I got.
And this is coming from the guy who last year literally wrote an article for WGR550.com that had things that I would rather do than cheer for the Patriots, including eating Tide Pods and stepping on Legos.
You did.
And if Dallas ends up in the Super Bowl, guess what article is coming back? Except it's against the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Because I remember Joe DiBiase, he wrote an article saying that it's okay to root for the Patriots. Well, guess what? If it's New England-Dallas, it is absolutely okay to root for the Patriots. You better bet your ass.
Yeah.
And then that response article will be things I would rather do than cheer for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, they will. That happens. We'll figure something out that you have to do.
Because Boston fans...
If it's New England-Dallas, we're going to figure something out.
If it's New England-Dallas, I think I'm just going to... I don't know. I'll kick myself in the gonads.
I was going to say... Get body checked.
I don't care.
On the ice.
I don't care what. I don't care what.
A saber.
No, it's got to be something during the Super Bowl so I don't have to watch it.
Yeah.
That means it's got to be a long and detailed event or something that can knock me out.
Getting body checked. On the ice.
Fine. You talk to Sabres PR and get that together because I'm not doing that. And if impressively get it together, fine. I'll take the hit.
Get Ristolainen. Bristol smash you.
You have to get the worst of it.
Yes.
For me.
Yes. Hey, at least it's a Ristol body check and not a slap shot.
True.
You see what he did at the skills yesterday? You want to take a 107-mile-an-hour slap shot?
No.
Good.
No.
Good.
No.
Even with goalie equipment on?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
Why do you people do this? I'll never understand people like you or Owen, like, willingly getting in the way of shots for, or even people that block shots. Because Ilya Bryzgalov had said something very funny one time when he was still playing, that players are jumping in front of the way to block shots, mm-hmm. but they don't have goalie equipment, so who's the crazy one now?
He's got a point.
He's got a great point.
Listen,
dealing with
he was an all right goalie in the NHL, but oh my God, he is so smart.
You know who else is a great personality though? Linus Ullmark.
He is.
And we
so
need to protect
hockey.
You know. Yes, we need
Let's
to protect Linus
hockey.
Ullmark at all costs.
Yes. Yeah, that quote he had after the Boston game. I know you tweeted out too.
Yes.
You're like, protect him at all costs.
Protect Linus Ullmark because
he is fantastic.
He is a treasure.
Yeah.
And I mean, he came back his first game from dealing with that illness and he goes, I don't need to go into the details of what happened, but let's just say my diet worked. Like, the man is so candid and, you know, just a great quote and a great dude, it seems. That you need to just protect this man. I know he's going to do well enough to be an NHL goaltender, and he's showing it time and again. And now Housley's starting to ride him a little bit, and I'm very excited for that. There's nothing against Carter Hutton because the Sabres are not giving him goal support. But I want to see more Linus Ullmark. I want to see more of what he can do.
Yeah, same.
And if you want to try to get more of an even split on your goaltending share, that means riding Linus Ullmark a little bit. Can he do that? Can he take three games in a row for you? And starts.
So let's see if he starts tomorrow.
Yeah, if he starts tomorrow, can he go three starts in a row?
Yep. And play well.
And continue to play well.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, can he go three starts and play well?
And I mean, he's done well in the last two games.
Yeah, and he's done it twice so far.
Yeah, I would go with continue to play well. That man's a treasure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I am a huge Linus Ullmark fan.
Yeah.
Not even because of his play. Because Linus Ullmark said it best. You can't go ahead and, you know, skip out on life and being a good person. You can't go out there and be an idiot or a numbnuts every day. So, exactly. Protect Linus Ullmark at all costs.
Protect him, please.
And you know what else you need to do? Get some freaking scoring.
Score some goals.
From not the first line.
Yeah.
Or your defenseman. And we got one of those in the Florida game, Tage Thompson, going 5-hole on Luongo in finally slaying the weird-shaped Florida Panthers dragon. To have lost 7 in a row to Florida.
It's just weird.
It's weird, but at the same time, Every time Florida got within a goal, fans are probably like, oh boy, here we go again with Florida. Great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I knew for a certainty, even though they would score a goal after it, that they would win when Jeff Skinner scored that second goal of his.
You had a feeling that it's like, okay, they're going to hold on.
Well, for me it was, all right, number four, third period, they might give up one, but they're not giving up two.
Yeah.
Like, that was the one that you needed.
That was what I was thinking
yeah.
as well.
Like, I'm like, that's the one you needed. You got your two-goal lead back.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, in case you mess up somewhere, you have some breathing room.
Yeah.
And that was huge to get that regulation win. And then you unfortunately followed up with one of your more uninspiring games, which again happens against Boston, as I continue to roll my eyes at how the Bruins decide to annoy me, and more things from Boston continue to annoy me. And if the Patriots play Dallas, I'm going to have to deal with the annoyance of Boston fans getting another championship. Can you tell I don't like Boston teams?
No, go on. I'm kidding. Don't go on.
But now, Eichel looks like he's coming back. Reinhart wasn't at practice today.
Apparently he's sick.
Okay. I'll deal with that.
Maybe his diet worked, too.
I mean, you don't want to be losing a lot of weight and dealing with body checks and stuff. So,
that was a joke.
No, I know. But yeah, it just, look, at some point now you need to wonder about something. What can the line combinations look like? Because we saw Jeff Skinner and Sam Reinhart do just fine without Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder at this point, what do you do? And here are some options. Joe and I had talked about this. Joe brought up a great question about what to do with Casey Mittelstadt on the nightcap.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my ideas was...
just put him with...
play him on the wing.
Hmm. On the wing.
Because Gergensen's is back and skating again. Saboka's your de facto number two center anyway. Rodriguez could be your number three. Gergensen's your four. Or Larson. Still Larson. And then put Mittelstadt on the wing with Eichel and see if you can get something from the poor kid right now.
With Eichel, too?
That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
Put him on Eichel's wing.
You know,
load
him
up with Pominville.
I'm not against that.
And then go with Saboka with Skinner and...
and Reinhart.
Reinhart.
Probably go down Rodriguez.
Then go Rodriguez with the all-size line of Oposo and Thompson. Or Sherry and Thompson, excuse me.
Yeah,
and then Oposo can stay on the fourth line because, unfortunately, the man has not done much. Because Thompson still deserves something, too.
Eichel coming back. And now Gergensen's, too. That means C.J. Smith's going to head back to Rochester.
Probably. Smith didn't get enough done to excite at any point. Yeah, he was playing on the fourth line at some points, but... actually,
he didn't stand out.
You notice, though, that the line of Remy Elli, Casey Mittelstadt, and Jason Palmville were the ones getting fourth-line minutes. So Smith wasn't necessarily on the fourth line. He was with Kyle Poso, who has the contract of someone who's worthy of attention, and with Johan Larsson, who has been much better than he has been over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was playing with nobody's.
I can see the fourth line being Larsson, Gergensen, and Poso. I wouldn't be against the idea of Thompson, Rodriguez, and Sherry. Yeah, Saboka, Reinhart, and Skinner would make sense. And then, yeah, you put Mittelstadt with... if you move Mittelstadt to the wing, put him with Eichel and Pominville.
By the way, oh yeah.
And see if Eichel can get Mittelstadt going.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's assuming... I mean, it's a couple games where Skinner and Reinhart look good without Eichel. You just hope that something like that can continue.
Well, Jeff Skinner is routinely a 25-plus goal scorer in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
And that's so. He's done that most of his career without the likes of a Jack Eichel.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Skinner was generally the best forward in Carolina without an elite playmaker. Like Eric Staal. Jordan Staal.
I think you could
not
also.
Not really dish masters.
You could also say to. Eichel and Skinner just are playing too good to keep it apart.
You got to do something.
But But you have to do something.
You're 5-8-3. Yeah. You're 5-8-3 after the 10-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Which means you need to do something.
Yeah.
And that may mean breaking up the dynamic duo.
Yeah.
And like, that's where the question lies.
You know, I wouldn't be against it seeing it Tuesday against New Jersey and seeing what that does. If it doesn't work, you could just put them back together during the game.
Exactly. But you need to do something.
They do have to do something. I'm not against that. Yeah. I'm not against that. I welcome the idea of moving Middlestat to the wing to get him going.
Or
my
even,
problem.
Or
but
even
my
popping
problem,
Middlestat in between Skinner and Reinhardt.
Yeah, that would have been my first thought. Middlestat with Skinner, Reinhardt.
But I'm thinking this. Casey's been a defensive liability a little bit. He's not just been struggling in scoring. In his own end, he's also been a bit of a mess.
So give him less responsibility.
Give him less responsibility so that he can get some of his game back. Because with one thing, then comes the confidence that you can do the other thing. At the start of the season, Middlestat was fine in the defensive zone.
My worry about doing that, though, is he becomes another Sam Reinhardt, where he's drafted as a center. And he's looked at as being a center, and then you move him to wing because he's not doing well at center, and you realize he's a winger. He's not a center in the NHL.
Well, then guess what? That's a guy who's almost a point per game this season. If he becomes that, I'm cool.
Yeah, that's true. And then you're talking to, you know, what does management see Middlestat as? Do they see him as their future second line center guy?
And Joe,
if they do think that way, they're not going to take him off center.
I'm saying that you might need to do it just to get part of his game back, because then the confidence can come. Again, in the beginning of the season, Middlestat was fine defensively. Now he's just a mess. I feel like you need to, and this goes back to on the whole for the team.
As I said,
you need to do something different.
As I said, I'm not against the idea of Middlestat on the wing, especially with Eichel. But my guess is I would rather just see them keep him at center and put him, and I think put him with Skinner and Reinhardt and see what that does first. I think that's the first thing you do.
Right.
If that doesn't work, then I think you put him at wing. I think that's what I would do. Because like I said, they see him as a center. So why would you take, even if they're trying to get his confidence back, why would you take him off the position you're grooming him for?
Because it can be something that can be processed, slow cooked, or just a
shot
in the arm.
It's hard to be a good center.
I get that.
So he's got to grow into it at some point.
Yes, but this year doesn't have to be that year.
Well,
it
kind of does. This year is that year, though. This year is supposed to be that year, though. They're just overachieved. They just have exceeded the expectations that were set for them.
No, their expectation was to be competing for a playoff spot.
Well, yeah.
And coaches, as much as, you know, it's all about the grand scheme of things, coaches are still paid to win hockey games.
Yeah.
And if Phil Housley can think that moving Casey Middlestat to the wing to wake him up could help him win hockey games, he's going to consider it.
I think he's going to consider it, but I think ultimately he's probably going to keep him at center. And I think to start, he's going to do it. I think he's only going to do it if it just is not working, if it just continues to not work.
I just think it's an interesting notion.
It is. Like, I would not be against the idea of putting Middlestat with Reinhardt and Skinner, and give Eichel, I don't know,
Thompson Pominville or
Thompson Sherry.
Thompson Sherry, or
I love the idea of Thompson with Eichel. Really do. I really like that. I don't know why.
Because Thompson, despite not producing as much as he should have, has looked promising over the last 5-7 games?
Yes. Yes. And then you got like Rodriguez, Pominville, you know, Oposo, Larson, Gergensens, and Saboka.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Spoca Rodriguez, Palmaville wouldn't be that bad of a third line.
There you go.
No. I still feel like they're gonna do something at the deadline and get a guy that they want. The guy that they want to get. Not a rental. I still don't think they're gonna do it.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are trying to say that they have to do something, and if getting a rental's doing that, then do it. They're not gonna steer away from the plan.
No.
There's no way they're gonna do it. And if they do, it's gonna be a small move. It's not gonna be something big.
Yeah. At the very most they'll give up the San Jose pick.
I think at the very most. Yeah, that's as of right now, that would be the least valuable first.
Yep.
Right now, they're on track with the Leafs from 2 years ago. You know, the rookie Matthews year.
Slide into the playoffs.
They're going down that route right now.
But that Leafs team did something that I don't think the Sabres will do. That Leafs team acquired Brian Boyle at the trade deadline.
Small move, though.
Small move, big price.
Wasn't that big.
Was it not?
They gave up an aging prospect and who was like, I think, 23 or 24, who barely cracked the NHL, and a second-round pick.
Well, the Sabres don't have one of those.
Right, but the Sabres do have three firsts.
Again, if they give up a first, they need to get something more than a Brian Boyle.
They're either getting some more than a Brian Boyle, or they're getting another higher, like a second pick back. It's like a second round back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're getting a rental for like your bottom six, and you have to give up a first to do it, you're getting another high pick back. Or you're getting a good prospect.
Again, I think you're right, though, when you initially said that they will do something, but it's what they want to do. And what they don't want to do is get a rental.
Yeah, I do.
So therefore, it plays back into what your words are.
Yeah.
They'll do what they want to do, which is get a player, a young player that you can command.
And getting
for at
Brian
Boyle
was something that Toronto wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think the 16-17 Leafs and this year's Sabres are eerily similar.
Except that Toronto wasn't a one-line team.
Right. They had offense that year.
Sabres have defense.
Sabres have more defense this year.
They have
so
defense
that there's just
goals.
A little bit opposite. There's just a little bit of the opposite where Toronto ideally would have wanted to add another defenseman, but they added a fourth-line center. I don't think the Sabres are going to add a defenseman and go like that. I still think they're going to add a forward. But they're going to do something in that route, probably more closer in that route based on what they want to do. They might want to get a 23-year-old guy who's on his second contract right now,
mm-hmm.
or somewhere in between 23 and maybe even 26.
Yeah.
And do something like that.
Exactly. That's what they seem like they want to do, is get a younger player who has some experience but isn't on the other side of 30. And they would be willing to give up a first-round pick for that.
I've been looking up some more names.
Like what? Like whom?
Braden Schenn, who's 27, I believe.
Which I doubt the Blues will deal with the Sabres again right now.
Yeah. But another one that I think really intrigued me, Sean Couturier.
You really think Philadelphia could part with Couturier?
If they start to blow things up with the way that they're going right now.
Well, then they are lost. And they get exactly what they deserve for having a mascot like Gritty and pumping him up all the time.
So give us Couturier.
I got my revenge. I said that Philadelphia was going to be bad because of Gritty, and I was right.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I called it.
Oh, my God.
They pumped up some ugly-looking mascot. That was a Muppet that did straight heroin. And I knew they deserved to lose, and they did. And they've done it a lot. Oh, man, it feels good to have that revelation.
You give up something for Couturier.
I'd give up a lot of things for Couturier. I'd give up my fandom for the Bills. I'd give up Ennis Weber in a third.
Yeah. I think Kateri is a guy who would fit. Who fit?
A young centerman who's defensively responsible and productive in the NHL? Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good fit, Frank. That's a pretty good fit. On what I can assume is a team-friendly contract at the moment?
Just over $4
million
for the next
three
years after this year.
Seems like a good fit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It smart does. Ass.
Yeah, you are.
You're the smart ass for saying that. Of course Sean Couturier. Sean Couturier is a good fit for 31 NHL teams. Philadelphia should be asking for at least a first and a top prospect. If they're that drunk about even dealing him in the first place. Can we just call Shirelli and get Ryan Nugent-Hopkins for Ennis Weber in a third?
Sure.
Because that might actually work.
A retired player, a guy who's not even on our team, and a third-round pick.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yes. Shirelli might even say you've got yourself a goddamn deal.
Here, we'll give you a second-round pick, too. Because knowing Shirelli, he would do something like that.
Look, man, I'm pretty sure I can legitimately just dangle the San Jose first and... Scott Wilson. And for good measure, we'll give you Hickey, too. A youthful defenseman.
I'd offer up, like, Marcus Davidson.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Because you don't need to with Shirelli. Give him stopgaps that help him make the playoffs and keep his job. I'm not kidding. The man traded.
Here, have Remy Ellie.
The man traded for the guy who separated Connor McDavid's shoulder.
Yeah, I know.
And then admitted that he did it on purpose.
I know.
And Shirelli literally said that these are stopgaps. He's going on a year-to-year basis for his job.
Yep.
Get him for what you can.
Nathan Beaulieu for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, 1-for-1. The trade is 1-for-1.
You see, it's funny. We can give out these drunk ideas, and they'd actually be half legitimate.
I know. I think it's way more possible for Bogosian to be that 1-for-1.
I was actually about to say that as a joking thing. But I'm not even, I don't even want to trade.
I wouldn't even joke about it.
But I actually wouldn't even want to trade Bogosian right now. He's been steady.
Yeah, he has.
Is he worth the contract that he was given? No, but we didn't sign him to that.
Yeah.
But Bogosian's helping steady Rasmus Dahlin on a nightly basis, so I'm cool with it. Does he make one bad pass that ends up in icing literally every game? Yes. That's also the worst that he tends to do. He makes one bad decision with the puck every night, and that's it.
So it's
a fun drinking game.
Yeah.
You see him do that and just go, drink. And there you go, done.
So,
Frank, I now know how to deal with the potential New England-Dallas Super Bowl. We do a drinking game.
You're going to drink? If New England-Dallas happens, you're drinking. You're going
to
have a drink.
That might actually have to happen anyway.
You're gonna
because that would be the only way that I would have to be willingly dealing with that Super Bowl.
So in case you don't know, Derek has never had a drink in his entire life.
No, I've had drinks. They just have been rejected by my body and my taste buds. You can blame my idiot friend, not Frank, who is also my idiot friend. You can blame one of my idiot friends for making me something that was a watermelon rum and Coke. It was as disgusting as it sounds.
I mean, just take the watermelon out and you're fine.
Again, I didn't make the drink.
So I'll get you a drink that you'll like.
Okay, anyway, not my point here.
All right, but we're going to do that.
Okay, mini tangent over about the Super Bowl thing and drinking games. The point remains, though. The Sabres need to do something. We don't know what that is yet.
Couturier, Nugent Hopkins make the most sense right now.
Well, Nugent Hopkins doesn't make as much sense because Edmonton's in a playoff spot. And trading away your 2C, not smart.
I'm saying this for sake. I mean, yeah. For Edmonton's sake, yes.
I'm joking about Edmonton because Shirelli sucks at his job.
It's still something that they would do even though they're in a playoff spot.
Bears fans wish Cody Parkey was as bad as Peter Shirelli is at his job.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the way they're talking about him.
Yeah.
But they don't know bad at your job like Peter Shirelli, who still has a job.
Yeah. He still has a job. Probably not after this year.
Yeah, he might. Darcy Rigier kept his job for years and years and years. Far past what he should have.
He got fired eventually.
Did he get a first for Paul Gostad? Yes. Never forget. Mm-hmm. But was he, on the whole, a lackluster general manager who was there for far too long? Yes. Though he still got a first for Paul Gostad.
Yep. Still did. Shirelli's never did something like that.
Shirelli was the boob on the other side of that kind of a deal. Yep. He traded Taylor Hall.
He traded a first and a second for Griffin Reinhart.
Who's Griffin Reinhart?
Exactly.
Nice job, by the way. That was a 1T set up for you. You slammed it home. I would have gone with if you would have asked that to me instead, I would have gone with Sam Reinhart's unknown brother. Because those are facts.
That is a fact.
He is a brother of Sam Reinhart.
He's the youngest
but
of the Reinhards.
Nobody knows him because he doesn't play in the NHL.
Yep.
Islander fans might know him. Oof. As a bust of a pick.
Edmonton fans know him.
Because
they traded a first and a second for him.
To be taken in the expansion draft where Vegas fans do not know him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't crack the roster.
Because he's not good enough for them.
Because he didn't crack their roster.
It's just made worse because the picks that the Islanders got, they used on Matt Barzal and Anthony Beauvillier.
Yep.
Matt Barzal.
Oh, and they also traded for Ryan Strome for Jordan Eberle, and that was a mega whiff.
Because then they trade Strome for Ryan Spooner, and now they're trying to trade Spooner.
And they can't because Spooner's useless.
Yeah.
In trade value. So you basically traded Jordan Eberle for Ryan Spooner?
For useless. They traded Jordan Eberle for useless.
They traded Jordan Eberle for an AHL player.
Yeah.
No amount of cap relief will help you out in that scenario.
No.
And that is why Connor McDavid literally has to do everything. By the way, did you see that hit yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Lindholm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a ref standing right in front of it.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, you didn't push him in the back into the boards. Nah, we're good.
Yeah, let's protect our players.
I get that it's hard to officiate a game at a high speed. I understand that it's hard to officiate a game. I would never. If someone asked me to be like, hey, you want to referee a game for a bunch of peewee kids, I'd be like, no. Because I'm going to make a bad call and some parent is going to be up my stuff. Because that's what refs do, is they screw things up. That said, that's a pretty cut and dry one. You need to call that.
Yeah.
There are obvious things that are obvious. And if I was an official, even in a Pee Wee game, and I didn't see something obvious, well, that's on me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not a referee. Because I'm not paid to do this. Because I wasn't trained for years and years on how to do it.
I've reffed a hockey game.
Y'all want to go after Cody Parkey? Go after an official for having Connor McDavid pushed face first into the boards.
I've reffed a hockey game. It sucks.
Yeah. And again, when you have a bad day on the job, are you allowed to be criticized? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Parkey's hit 6 posts this season. That is terrible.
That's just such bad luck.
Yes, but it's also not good.
It's also not good, but it's still bad luck.
It's pinpoint accuracy when you don't want the pinpoint accuracy.
Yeah.
So are you allowed to make fun of him?
Has that ever happened to, like, one player in a season?
Dude, I think he hit 2-1 game.
He hit like 4-1 game.
That's right. He hit 4-1 game against Detroit.
Yeah.
He had 4 pingers.
Like, has that ever happened?
I don't even think that's happened in a hockey game. One player hitting 4 posts?
I'm sure it has.
One player hitting 4 posts in one game?
I'm sure it has.
Well, we wouldn't know because it's not a recorded stat.
Yeah.
But guess what? Same thing for Cody Parkey. Hitting 4 posts in one game is not a recorded stat. Yeah. But everyone knows about it because he hit 4 posts.
Yeah.
That's why I think that it hasn't happened, because someone would be able to bring up if someone hit 4 posts in one game in a hockey game.
Plus, you
think about it.
You got to go really far back.
I know, but I'm saying think about
it. Oh, no, I
that would be legendarily
you.
Unlucky.
I believe you.
But what does it say at the end of the day? That he had no goals from
Still
those four shots.
Goals, yeah.
From those 4-shot attempts.
Yeah.
So they're not even on goal.
Yeah.
What does Cody Parkey's stat line say in that game? That he went 0-for-4 on those kicks.
Yeah.
That they were missed. So are you allowed to be made fun of? Yes. I'm going to make fun of the refs for missing that hit. Yeah. I can make fun of Cody Parkey for having 4 dingers in one game.
Yeah.
I won't take it farther than that.
No.
Why? Because I expect when I'm bad at my job that you make fun of me. But if you want to threaten me, well, okay, dog, let's go.
All right. Before we end the podcast today.
One more thing before you do the before the ending thing.
Okay. Just a little bit of news.
Can Clemson beat the evil empire? I say yes.
Trevor Lawrence has to have a monster game.
Well, Deshaun Watson did it.
Watson did do it.
Watson did it twice. He went 1-1 there.
Yep.
So even if Lawrence has a monster game, it could actually falter. Because they actually have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Watson didn't have to deal with Alabama having a quarterback.
Yeah. So it's gonna be tough.
It's not going to be easy. I think Clemson can do it because they showed that they are just as good. And these teams are facing each other yet again.
Yeah. This is like the fourth straight year.
So is Clemson also an evil empire if they win again tonight? Because then it would be 2 championships in the last 4 years for each of those teams.
Yeah, but look at Alabama's only evil
empire. Is it a monopoly if it's just Alabama and Clemson every year? Does college football matter anymore?
No.
It does, Frank, for the draft.
I know it does. It does for the draft, yes. But I think they're the next closest to being an evil empire, because look at the NFL, too, with the Patriots. They're the evil empire of the NFL, just as Alabama's evil empire college football.
Alabama's more spotless than New England is.
Oh, yeah, but
because there's at least free agency and money that dictates where players can go.
But
whereas with recruiting, you just get all the best guys, and Saban just flashes all them rings and go, want one?
Yeah. But both teams always win. That's what I'm going at. Clemson's, I think, it's heading towards that next, as being that next. But they would only get there if Alabama is no longer the
evil
empire.
Do we blow up college football if it's Alabama and Clemson over the next 2 years? Do we just end it? Start over?
Can we do that with the NBA?
With Golden State?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the evil empire of the NBA.
Yep. Alabama's breaking college football the way that Golden State has broken the NBA.
Yep.
The only difference is those players don't get paid to do it.
Yep.
There's no Kevin Durant leaving like a snake in free agency.
There is transfers, though.
Nobody transfers to Alabama, Frank.
That's true. I mean,
because their depth chart is set.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of that, too, Tyree Jackson declared for the draft.
Tyree Jackson declared after
he was almost going to transfer.
He was looking into the transfer portal, but the man decided, I've graduated. He didn't see anything that he necessarily liked and will take his chances in the NFL.
I think the rumor was he was going to transfer to Miami.
And then
Now he's going to the NFL.
Yeah, and Miami's looking for a new coach, so
yeah,
back out.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes enough sense, actually.
So at least so now when we do the draft process, we can at least see how he's going.
Yeah, Tyree Jackson.
Anthony Johnson, I think, is going in the draft, too, is he?
Yes. He's a senior, that's why.
Yep.
He's actually going to the Senior Bowl, which is nice.
That's awesome for him. I'm really happy for him.
So we're going to definitely talk to our guys that go down there.
So now we can at least follow both those guys as the draft process goes along.
Yes. You know what that means, though? We're going to have to dial up our dog, Mark Schofield.
Oh, yeah.
Bless the rains in Africa.
Bless them. UB men's basketball up to 19 now.
Oh, they moved up another one spot?
One spot.
God, penalize a mid-major for losing to a ranked team, and now you have to slow climb your way back to where you were.
I mean, at least they didn't, like, unrank them after that loss.
I know, but they put them at 21 at the time.
It's fine.
I'm just saying it's annoying. Punish a mid-major.
Of course. Well, just, okay. That last other piece of news I had, the Chargers did something today. Activated Hunter Henry.
Stephen A. Smith was right, eventually.
Yep. But, I mean, to be fair, good for Hunter.
Good for the Chargers.
Good for the Chargers. Yeah, that's huge for them.
Because everyone was saying Henry can make it back for the playoffs.
Yep.
Had they lost that game.
Nope.
Well, sorry, Hunter.
And they were able to do it.
We blew a tire in the wild card round.
Yep. So.
How sucky would that be? Sorry, Hunter, we blew it in the wild card round right as you were coming back from your injury and we were going to be able to put you on the roster. Whoops.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully Hunter Henry can show up against the Patriots, who I picked to try to jinx because I went 1-3.
Yep. Now they don't have to solely rely on Antonio Gates. Or anybody else on that roster.
True.
All right. In the tight end spot, at least.
All right. I think we're done here?
Yeah. So.
What's your thing?
Making a little changes to the podcast now.
Changes.
We're no longer going to do Fridays.
No, we are not.
We're going to do Thursdays.
We're doing Mondays and Thursdays.
Mondays and Thursdays, yes.
For your listening pleasure or your listening torment, however you take us.
Sure.
With a grain of salt. Or with a wobbly pop.
Yeah. Or just a pop.
Or a regular pop. I had some pop.
You did.
Pop's delicious.
Pop is delicious.
I should stop drinking so much of it.
No.
Frank, encouraging me to be unhealthy. Look yes. at him. What a good friend.
Yes. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here drinking water. I didn't get a pop. What if I wanted one?
I'm going to pop Frank.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com, on demand, radio.com app. No matter how you listen, we appreciate you. Podcasts are on iTunes as well.
Yep.
As all WGR podcasts are. And shows. And everything. Thank you for listening. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And we'll catch you guys Thursday. And stuff.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.